Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, we don't want that. I'll explain in a minute.
Vakna de kvedelige drenge, de høyre nykken på havet skrik, for de et sovet i for lenge. Heim og hva det som vi lønn, vakna de kvedelige drenge, de høyre nykken den heying hun, for de er sovet i for lenge. Nykken han taler til styringsmann, vakna de kvedelige drenge, du styrer mitt på Kristeland, for de er sovet i for lenge. Jeg vil meg på Kristeland gå, vakna de kvedelige drenge, denne vene jomfru hva vil jeg få.
Oops, I shut my mic.
What?
I shut my mic off because I was having a coughing fit. Welcome to the show, everybody, to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and with me is the enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome
hello.
To the show, Janine. Hello.
Thank you. Hello. Hello.
So, how am I? Isn't that a loaded question tonight there, my friend? Well, you know, I'm going to be honest with everybody. So, you know, it could be a bumpy ride tonight. You know, it's amazing because the energy that came in for all of us this weekend, it was really profound. I mean, all the people in my life that I was speaking with on the phone, you know, on the radio, on Facebook, we were all definitely sharing that there was just a profound clarity and like a sense that we had kind of went through a ring of fire of where we couldn't turn back. We passed the ring. How does that saying go? The ring of you can't turn back.
Or it's
yeah,
point of no return, or
there you go, right?
Yeah. Which is always a great story. You know, it's the great part of the story where, you know, the hero advances to the point of no return, and
It's the commitment too, right? Isn't? I mean, I looked at it as okay, this is the commitment of the ascension. If we can't turn back, because we can't go back to sleep, so you know. Hold on, everybody. Go ahead.
No. I think, you know, it's funny because we make commitments and vows, and we've made many probably along the way. And I think they're always, it's like not that you're renewing a vow, it's that you literally are a different person because we're moving constantly along. So we're changing. So, you know, the vow is the vow of who we are at this time. So, you know, I think that's a very powerful thing. And it's funny that you mentioned fire because we could share with the listeners about.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, that
was
amazing.
No, that was amazing. I just kind of want to segue that because what I'm experiencing today is on some level, the the balancing of this new space that I'm in and learning how to navigate in it, because you know, as everybody knows, and well, not everybody, but most of the people listening know that me and Scott had our soulful ceremony on Saturday night, and for lack of a better term, we got married, and you know, it was magical. It was definitely one of the most magical experiences of my life, and I recognize it as, you know, it's not just the night of the party. You know, it's like it is the setting of the way I was looking at it. It's like it created a timeline, and now in this timeline, I don't walk alone anymore. I have a partner, and I have a partner who's committed to me, and I'm committed to him, and you know, that's very new for me. And it's not that I haven't been committed to people, but it has always been out of my field of comfort to commit to something like marriage, because I knew in my heart I didn't have the experience or the belief system around how to have a healthy relationship. And at this point in time, you know, I took the vows and I created the vows and the ceremony because I do feel that I can do this in a healthy way. And you know, I don't know how that's going to end up looking, but I really do have the confidence that I can bring a healthy perspective to this. And so with that being said, you know, today me and Scott were tired, and you know, we still had things to do. We brought the treadmill over here. We went to his mom's house and cooked dinner. There was a lot of stuff going on, and you know, it's an interesting, you know, there's a saying, oh, the honeymoon's over. And, you know, there's, you know, a level of, okay, life goes back into its journey of, you know, it's not about, you know, planning a party or a wedding. And it's, you know, it's really just about, you know, a daily experience and bringing a wisdom to that experience. So, and personally, I'm a little cranky today, but I didn't sleep so good last night, and it does seem that, you know, there's other people feeling this as well, that we just kind of, you know, whatever that high we were flying in over the weekend, kind of leveled out a little bit. Because I don't want to say that the other shoe dropped. That's not even close to what is going on. It's not the old days. It's not like we're on the roller coaster getting up to the top and then we're going to be disappointed, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, just about learning how to navigate, you know, in a different, in a, you know, we're not just in water anymore. Now we're in ethers, and ethers also play a part to, you know, how the boat gets tossed around, so to speak.
Yeah, I think there's a real, I was just thinking as you're talking, because I've done 4 years in a row. I did these trainings that were 12 days, all together, and they were very intense. And you pretty much entered sacred space, and it was very much like taking a vow, and with the intention of, you know, really shape shifting and transforming and being open. And I believe that. You know, this just was hitting me as you were talking, because it reminded me, and this is a good reminder, because I'm feeling it as well, what you're describing. And, you know, when you set an intention and you create a sacred space, as happened on Saturday night with the radio show, and, you know, you take vows or you make an affirmation or whatever, however you want to put it, it really is palpable and powerful and sacred. And I remember when we would end these 12-day trainings that we were taught about the transitioning period, which is when you come back, sort of quote, into the world, you need to come back quietly and almost give yourself some space and, you know, be conscious that you're coming back into sort of the more everyday way. And I think, you know, when I think about it now, taking the vow, and, it, you know, it was it was powerful. Mine was in a lot of words, but it was powerful in its intention. And, you know, then I realized that it was pretty much activated right away. And I'm looking at it now going, you know, I kind of forgot about the transitioning period. Like, and I think that's what I'm feeling. I think that I need to honor that. I think you know, we all do, because there is a sort of not inflated high, but a genuine high. And that's great. But you need to really recognize and maybe, you know, when you're in a sacred space in the middle of nowhere in the high desert mountains of Arizona, and you have a cross-cultural anthropologist who's masterful at this teaching you, you're kind of supported in the process. But here we were supporting each other, but then we, you know, we end the radio show, we hang up, people go on with their lives. But I think now I'm realizing, oh, maybe it would have been helpful even to me or you talk about the transition out of the show, you know, or out of, or watch, you know, be easy with yourself the following day, perhaps even have a day of quiet silence if it was possible, you know, you know, maybe make contact, you know, less. And now it all makes sense to me now that I'm saying it. But you know, here we are and you know, I kind of feel, even just saying that, I feel better, because I think now I understand more what I was going through yesterday. Running into a cranky person and being very puzzled by it. Like, what? And, you know, wasn't, you know, kind of caught off my guard, but not really. But it was just strange. And I was like, oh. And that, now I'm thinking, oh, yeah, you came back and you forgot the transition period. Do you mind? Can I share what happened after?
Of course, I'm hoping you are going to. Of course,
yes. It's so funny that you said Ring of Fire, and I was just looking at my book on Ireland and saw the Ring of Kerry, which I love. But no, I was talking to Golden Hawk today, and you know, we had obviously had jotted down what we had wanted to say, our intention. And we had it on a piece of paper, and so on the radio show, we read our intention, our vow, and then that was it. And so Golden Hawk went on with her evening and was getting married, which is beautiful, and I went on with mine, staying home. But while I was in the living room right after the show, there was a candle lit in the fireplace, and something just moved me to kind of create the ritual or close the ritual and send the vow off into the ethers, because the vow had been concretized as far as I was concerned by me stating it. So I burned it after I put a little saliva on it, which I, to me, is like adding my DNA, which I do a lot with initiation art, whether it's hair or, you know, just some saliva or whatever. But
well, adding DNA, I think it's a pivotal point, and I love that you take notice of it. Yeah.
So that was you know, it was all in, it was completely spontaneous. And so I said to Golden Hawk today, oh yeah, I burned my vows, and she said, what? And she was moved to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, that's really, really something, you know, that both of us were intuitively moved spontaneously, and I did it right away. There was no hesitation, and so was she.
Me
she
too.
Said, you even said you heard a voice, burn the vows.
That's how I always say it.
But it was your own voice.
It's not an actual voice. Is it a voice or a knowing? It's more a knowing.
Yeah, it's like the same for me. It was just this.
Right.
Right. So if you even think about it, you probably think of it as a voice, you know, like, oh, I, you know, but you're thinking to yourself.
Right.
So there was, we both ended up burning our vows spontaneously. And I think that's pretty something, because it just shows a connection, you know. And I love that we both chose the element of fire, and we didn't have to choose anything, you know, and, Yeah, and I was thinking for anyone else who wrote vows that night and sort of said them out loud, you can do something like that, or you can send them adrift in water, or you can bury them in the ground, or, you know, you can be creative about the vows. So, yeah, it's just something that we did. So I thought that was really cool.
Well, and what I think is also very interesting, and I don't know if you want to share the story or not, Janine.
Sure.
But I think it's important that we recognize, and this, you know, this is almost like, you know, we state these vows and intentions, and it was funny because if you heard the show on Saturday night, Sylvain called in and, oh, my God, just blew all of us away. I mean, everybody that called in blew us away. I had a personal experience with Sylvain prior to calling in, was so excited when he did call in, and he wrote to me on Facebook how, you know, he goes, his brain kept telling him that, it was no big deal, but he also had a sense that, you know, yeah, it was a big deal, and things really do get moved, and the universe does rearrange itself to help us experience that which we're intending. And what I think it's so important is, you know, in our intentions, it's like I learned a while ago, if you intend to for patience, if you intend to be, if you are intending virtues, whatever the virtue that you're intending, the way the universe shows up for you to give you that opportunity is through its opposite. So if you're intending patience, you're going to experience waiting in line. You're going to experience being put on hold. You're going to experience traffic jams, because these are the elements that will help you cultivate patience. And so what I think is interesting is, you know, we were all, you know, very deeply on New Year's Eve night expressing to be one with our I am or our soul presence.
Right.
And so, you know, and I'm kind of just getting this right now as we're speaking. This is really off the cuff, you know, a little bit. Is that okay? Because, I mean, I've been dealing with a lot of cranky today, including myself. But, of course, you know, that would be the polar opposite of, you know, the soul-based experience that I intended. You know, the way to find your soul is to have compassion and have understanding, have, you know, unconditionally loving. All of these are cultivated not from things running smoothly, but from things being, you know, maybe not so smooth. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I think that's so, well, you take a vow and where you state something, and then, you know, then it's amazing how after, you know, the situation presents itself where you're like, and you may not even recognize that that's the situation till after, but I do think that, you know, with just, are you talking about my experience in the parking lot?
Well, that and as well, and then I started incorporating my own experiences, how I've been challenged today as well. So, but
right,
I'm happy
right.
if you want to,
yeah, because it was just, you know, it wasn't amazing.
Share
thing,
what the vow was,
like,
too. Share, because that'll help.
Yeah, well, my vow was with courage and humility, I am dedicated to my authentic self, deepening my awareness and capacity for love. And, you know, so, and that was that. And I also had talked about when Carl Jung, and the authentic self, oh, let me say that again. Did I say that? Wait, it was with
you said
courage
that. You said,
and humility, I dedicate myself to my authentic self. I said that?
Yes.
Oh, see, I'm going into a trance or something. I was like, wow, where did I go? I didn't even hear what I said. So anyway, I looked up, because I really, authentic self was what came up for me. And the rest sort of came around to that. But authentic self was the seed that, or the highlight, and then all that before and after were just what kind of came before and after, and I liked how it presented itself, but it was really the authentic self. So I wanted to see what Carl Jung or anybody had to say about authentic self, and Carl Jung had some interesting things, and, you know, who knows how these fit, and who knows who the people that you meet, you know, and I'll tell you the stories to follow, but, okay, so this really fits. Because it's after the
this
fact.
This is a quote by Carl Jung?
Yeah, well, there are two, but, and I shared one of them on radio on Saturday night. But, you know, now that I think about this encounter or some kind of encounter with this woman who got upset with me or angry with me, you know, who knows how much of this, like, who comes into your space actually is being activated by the work that, you know, I'm actively doing. And so here's the two quotes, because you'll see what I'm saying here. The one quote I shared on Saturday was, when you live from the unconscious rather than the conscious, and that's an interesting thing, because in order to become conscious, you've got to bring the unconscious up. You know, so you've got to bring what's in the dark up and bring it into consciousness. And that is a very challenging thing. So this isn't something you do, you know, like, oh, okay, today I'm going to bring all my unconscious up. You know, this could be this could be 20 years, this could be 30 years, this could be, you know, 15 years, and you may just go, hey, okay, you know, I got more, but I'm doing all right, you know. So the unconscious is a pretty big down there thing. So he said, when you live from the unconscious, You will see your life as sort of happening from fate. And I thought, oh, that's so true, because, or resonated with me, because, you know, you when you're living consciously rather than being like a puppeteer to your unconscious when you're not, when you haven't brought your so that was really interesting to me. And so the authentic self is the conscious self. You know, the authentic self is self also is who you are, why you were born to this place. This isn't someone else's idea of who you're supposed to be, or even who you think you might supposed to be. So the following other statement that Carl Jung said, that the most powerful psychic energy on a child is his or her parents' unlived lives. And I thought, wow, you know, that is such a powerful thing that, you know, we don't realize as children how psychically affected we are by our parents' unlived lives of maybe the, you know, what they haven't lived their
what they haven't processed.
Well,
yeah.
they haven't lived their authentic self or brought up their unconscious to their conscious. So this psychic energy is very powerful on children. And, you know, so why I'm bringing this up is because the day after Saturday night, which was New Year's Day, you know, I went just to get some food for the family to have, and I went to Whole Foods, and I came out, and I, you know, all was well. I mean, it was just like, oh, you know, what nice winter day, got some food, bringing it home. And put the bags in the back of my car, kind of brought my basket, you know, the cart, into the middle of an empty space, because Whole Foods has these kids that they hire just to go collect the carts, and the kids love their job, and I was far away from the building, and there weren't a lot of cars around me, but there was a space between me and another car. And I just placed the cart in the middle of this empty space, and I made sure it was secure, like it wasn't going to blow anywhere. And I got in the car and I started it. And as I started to pull out, this woman who was sitting in the passenger seat of this other car got out and looked at me with such disdain and moved the cart as if to say, you didn't put the cart where you should have. And she just moved it about 10 feet. And
oh, she didn't bring it to one of the fronts or whatever?
She just moved it about 10 feet, just
Oh, so her 10 feet was correct. But
really,
it
made no difference as to where the cart had been, where she moved it.
Wow.
But she got out of the car deliberately and just looked at me as if I had done something horrible. And I was really puzzled. I was like, and I watched her, and I watched her watching me looking, and she literally tracked me for as long as she could, looking at me with this real true disdain. And it was very odd to me. It was very like, where is that coming from? You know, it was so angry. And I do come from a family who is pretty good at being funny. And I realized I had somehow offended her shopping cart etiquette. And, you know, I was like, I was both like disturbed by her, but also like, life is very precious, and this is really bizarre to be so upset about a shopping cart, you know. It was really just out of nowhere. And I've had other experiences in the parking lot of Whole Foods, and they were not, you know, should I tell them this one? The one when I got out of the car and.
Well, before you do that, I just want to make a note that as much as, like, when me and Janine talked about this, because I know this happens to all of us, I just want to bring up the point that Janine's intention, you know, I believe that it's connected because, you know, if our intention is to be authentic and unconditionally loving, you know, because the key part about all of our intention is it was about connecting with our I am presence or our soul presence, you know, names the same, principles the same, name changes.
Right.
So when these experiences happen, it's not about us, you know, what have we done wrong? It's not that we've slid in, you know, we're backsliding and, I had such an amazing weekend, you know, and then I come out of the grocery store feeling really good. You know, and this angry woman's energy just smacks me in my face and says, well, you think you did good? No, you didn't. And what I want to say is, no, contraire. It's a matter of, and let me finish my statement. Not that you're interrupting. I'm talking to myself. The key is when we set these intentions to recognize how powerful they are that... Mm-hmm. Our soul does bring these experiences because, see, ultimately, it's all about looking at life neutrally. We have to become neutral in a dualistic dimension.
Yeah.
And so, ultimately, the only way we're going to know if we really hold neutrality for everything is it's going to keep coming at us. And inevitably, it's not going to trigger us. It's just because now Janine's going to tell you another story where it's an aspect of herself that is not triggered, that plenty of people are going to be triggered. Because I think it's important for us to see that when we do things like set intentions, when you see the experience come your way, remember you're going to get the polar opposite because that's the way this part of the universe works. We're in duality. So if you're praying for patience or intending for patience, you're going to be stuck in traffic jams. If you're intending to be unconditionally loving, you're going to find people angry at you that have really no business being angry. You know, but the key is through awareness, you can, you know, begin to flip the belief systems, because I think that's ultimately what our soul gives us, what these wonderful bitchy people give us the opportunity to do is flip the beliefs that we deserve it, that we're unworthy, that we've done something wrong, all into the space of, you know, listen, they have the right to be angry. I have the right not to, you know, affiliate, whatever. But I shouldn't judge it because that trigger helped me get a little bit of piece of me back by flipping it or by being aware of it. So.
That's excellent. And, you know, as I was driving away and and she was glaring at me, I realized I was like, first of all, things that are clear to me are just clear to me, and it's clear to me that there was a well of unconsciousness that rage like that or disdain or discontent like that cannot be triggered by a shopping cart placement unless
right. It's
really truly already existing. You know, so it all it takes is a little activation because that well
right. Of
discontent is there. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, my vow, my statement Saturday night, you know, who knows, maybe I was carrying that and I brought that out in her, and, you know, what she does with it is her, you know, task or challenge or learning
right.
or whatever. And I remember, you know, driving out of the parking lot on my way home and going, don't take this energy with you. Let this go. You know, and I consciously, because I knew that I wasn't going to take it. Like, this, I would have to have wells of discontent and rage inside of me in order for that to really connect with me. And it didn't.
But it
was puzzling to me. Like, I was, you know, because it came out of nowhere. And so these are great learnings about who shows up at your gate unexpectedly and how you are going to be. You know, what is your response?
Yeah.
What is your reaction? And truly,
absolutely.
what I did consciously choose was not to stop and even, you know, investigate or say, are you okay? I really felt that what was right for me, what my response was, is to move on, let it go, and then, you know, and not take it home with me. Now, I did process, you know, with Golden Hawk, because it did stick out as an unusual circumstance, because it's just not something that, you know, but maybe, you know, maybe on this path, that's, you know, you're going to, you know, I'm going to activate people, and I'm going to activate
them. That's my humble
them.
Opinion.
Yeah. So there's another story, though, an interesting other side of the story, or just another story about maybe a year and a half ago, I was in the same parking lot, and I was just getting out of the car, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw this, I could tell it was a young man coming towards me, and I knew right away the energy was a little jumpy, but, like, I got out, I didn't feel like, ooh, don't get out, you know, and I got out,
right.
and he didn't look well. He looked like he had been doing drugs, like amphetamines or something, because he had, like, scabs, and he was itchy, and he was pretty hyper, and he wanted money for the bus to New York, and, you know, I knew right away that really didn't seem to me to be the case, but I didn't have money. I do grocery shopping with, like, a debit card, so I just looked at him, and I really said, you know, I shop with a debit card, you know, and so he's like, oh, okay. So he started running to all different cars and pretty probably much scaring people, but anyway, there must have been some people that didn't respond well or civilized, and he kind of came by me again, and he said, I just want to thank you for treating me like a human being. And, you know, I realized actually I had really treated him well, because I felt, I don't know, I related to him. I mean, though by the grace of God, though I, you know?
Right.
So,
totally.
I mean, maybe my lesson is, there by the grace of God, go I with the woman. You know, she was actually harder to love than the guy who was looking for drug money. You know, I mean, she was, that.
Well, and you know, that could be partially because that's not, you know, you're not that angry of a person. But that's,
no.
in this lifetime.
Right. So these are just, they're not, you know, I don't have any great, like, lesson. I'm just sharing my experiences that, you know, these are my experiences, and I'm sure there's lots of different learnings, and this is an occurrence that occurs every day, and maybe most of all, my experiences, I'm very conscious of them, you know,
yeah.
So when you're conscious of your experiences, you know, I think they take on a different form, you know? I mean, maybe someone else would have just went, cranky lady, never mind. But, you know, I don't know. I was just very conscious of her and very you know, and I am a therapist, so, you know, maybe I'm very aware of people's attitudes and you know, how they, but it was her disdain was pretty shocking to me. It was like, wow, you know, and I said that I had felt like I was in a Seinfeld show where, you know, I got in trouble for putting the cart, like, not in the right place. And I was like, all right, you know. It was just kind of, that part was kind of funny. And but anyway, it's good to share it. And, you know, I think activating people is part of this, and how you handle it is, I'd like to think that you move into a mastery, and you only do that by getting out there in the world and and handling it, you know. So,
well, right.
So it's
right.
All about experience.
That's it. You know, because, you know, we're really not mystics doing this in caves, this ascension and enlightenment. We are doing this, you know, in the midst of, we're doing this in the midst of mass consciousness, also expressing the height of the polarity of fear. Because, you know, it's not so much that, at least for me, it's not so much that, you know, you have to love everybody unconditionally in the sense of being a doormat, or, you know.
No, or trying to rescue, or, you know.
Well, that's another.
Me getting out of the car, and, it was just for me about being neutral and letting it go and moving on, and then how that woman wanted to process, or whether she did or not, you know, I don't know. But, you know, there was...
No, she didn't want to process. I mean, anger usually. But I think it's important for... I think you did say it, you know, maybe a little tentatively, but she is you. I mean, and maybe, you know, there's a part of you that just still has some anger inside that needs to be processed. Because, like, one of the things I'm starting to notice is that it's like whatever we have felt throughout our years, anything that we've stuffed, it inevitably must come up to get cleared. And, you know, I mean, I don't know about you, but clearly, how much stuff did we stuff? I mean, I stuffed for 12 years alone just doing the cocaine. Because every time people smoke a cigarette when they're anxious, or eat, or shop, these are all ultimately little energy packets of whatever they are that at some point in time are going to come around and it's going to be felt again.
Yeah. Like a reflective mirror of, you know, something to consider, to look at. And, if you take a vow, you know, the night before, and say, you know, from the depths of the unconscious, there's some anger issues or hurt issues or frustration issues. You know, I mean, yes, maybe there was a reflection of her, of me and her, that, you know, I'm not aware of. So, you know, there she was. The gift,
bringing
era.
Your awareness to it,
right,
bringing
it,
your
right.
awareness to it, yeah,
right, and you know, and so yeah, I'm open to that because I do think that, you know, it's a funny thing. I mean, taking vows is serious business. I mean, you know,
right on.
If you
allow them to come, meaning because there's, if we put the brakes on when they start showing up and just going back to the old patterns, in other words, if we stuff them when they show again, we haven't utilized the experience, and you know what I feel is it's just gonna cycle back out. It's gonna happen again.
Well, here's a really cool thing that I think, you know, I do think archetypally, you're right about me looking at something that's important, which is the song that we played opening tonight. We played opening New Year's Eve, which was this beautiful Norwegian chant, beautiful Norwegian folk song. That very song was the song that opened up this 12-day that I, in 1993, of this training I did when I found the art piece that I made later and wrote a book about called The Magic Gown. Interesting about The Magic Gown is it was ritualized by this teacher that I was working with in a way that was so profound, and the archetypal meaning of the magic gown in this ritual space was the healing of the deep feminine nature. Now, the beautiful thing about what's showing itself tonight on the show is, and I thought about the fact that that woman, to me, exhibited negative female, she was the negative side of the female as opposed to the deep, healing, beautiful, unconditional feminine nature. And
right. So
possibly, you know, look for me to look at the archetype of the deep feminine nature, and that I'm jumping in even deeper to that place. And so any of that negative archetype that's there, you know, I'm ready to deal with. I'm willing to deal with.
Right.
And just to take it even further, which is amazing. Okay, 18 years ago, and I said this on New Year's Eve. So now it's like, okay, so the universe is going to, or you know, help you and support you, or my higher self, or my authentic self probably, you know, goes, all right, she's going to drive to the Whole Foods parking lot. And there she's going.
Right,
to
we
meet.
Can set this up.
Right. So this was really cool, though, because when I found the gown in the riverbed, literally it was covered with dirt and moss, and it was ripped, and it was a mess. And in as ritual will be, like Goldie and I both burning our vows, it's spontaneous, it's intuitive, it's never
yes.
planned, it's just, okay. So this teacher, Angela Sarian, looked at me and she said, this is the deep feminine nature, the healing sap for the entire planet. This isn't just for you, but it's for the entire collective, but you are going to steward this. So it is for you. So, and she said to me, I want you to go wash it till the water's clear. And do you know, I felt insulted that she insulted my femininity. And then I was hurt, and then I was angry. And as I'm washing this delicate ripped dress in the water at the bathtub in my room, first the water was really dirty, I was really upset. I was like, I'm feminine. What does she mean? Deep feminine nature.
Oh,
and what,
I see. Okay.
And I was really upset. I was angry. Then I let the water out, and then I put the now I put the gown back into the water, and now I'm washing it delicately again, and the water's a little less clear. And I'm like, all right, you know, well maybe I'm, you know. And I started to ease up with the anger and the resentment that she was insulting my femininity and the hurt. And I think it was about the fourth or fifth wash when the water was clear, I was laughing so hard. I was like, I went into this like, this is great, you know. And
yeah.
It literally, I was transformed as the water got clearer. And
right
so
on.
So last, you know, so here's a residual effect 18 years later in the parking lot. And, you know, there, you know, so the water got a little clearer, you know, and so.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so these are
or it had the potential by your response anyways. That was,
right,
you
right.
did
well,
create
you're
that,
right.
but yes.
The potential's there whether you take it or not, or you process it or not, or you learn from it or not, or as you and I said, as you get the distilled wisdom from it, you know,
yeah.
that's a choice. It is a choice. But,
yeah.
So, you know, so here I am, and isn't it amazing, and this is kind of great, too, because isn't it amazing that from a misplaced shopping cart etiquette that I learned so much yesterday.
Well, indeed, indeed.
I
because,
learned so
you know,
much, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
yeah well, because
no, that's
it's
it.
The
that's
feelings. It's the feelings. That, because, you know, I mean, I'll be quite honest with you. I married a trigger. You know, I didn't marry the textbook romance novel that little Golden Hawk has dreamed about her whole life based on Disney.
Right.
I married a man who I know he loves me, But everything about our relationship is about the washing of my gown. I mean,
well,
it is about me.
It's a great analogy. It's a great analogy because it is most of us, if we all look, you know, we're all washing as we do vows, as we do work, as we bring up the unconscious, you know, to the conscious, and you do the work, which is taking self-responsibility really for yourself, but the water, you know, you want it, you can even envision that the water, you know, it's getting clear and it's a little dirty again, and it's getting clear and you bring it up, and that's exactly right. And, you know, one of the words I didn't use on in the vow, but it almost made it, was steadfastness, because I really truly like that word about, you know, there's a steadiness to this. This isn't an erratic thing. This isn't it's like the latest fad or the, you know, what's in now. This isn't like that. This is a commitment.
This is soul work.
This is a
commitment
and
to soul work.
Yeah, and it's
steady.
Exactly. It's steady.
Exactly.
So, you know,
the benefits come in the steadfastness. I mean, because, you know, there's always the option to jump ship and go, you know what, I'm just going to turn on the TV and say, fuck it all, man, I don't care. I mean, that carrot dangles for all of us, because another thing I want to incorporate into this conversation is doubt, that because a lot of people have been expressing that, you know, we're swinging, the pendulum is swinging from total confidence to doubt, to, you know, doubtful thinking, and it's definitely, it feels that this is part of the waves of how these changes, like, the soul is not just going to literally, you know, like a can opener, open us up and dump itself into us. It's going to create experiences, and through the experiences, how we handle the energy will determine whether we get more or it slows down, including setting the intention, okay, I've had enough soul energy, take it easy, because you know, the ego plays a part in this, our nervous system plays a part in this, and you know, one of the reasons, like what I was saying at the top of the show, that, you know, I'm ready to bring a healthy relationship into a commitment. You know, I can even distill that to even a more basic sentence. There is no relationship more important to me than being connected to my soul. And that is literally the divine reason I am with Scott. So, because I connect to my soul being with him. And how do I do that? Well, I love him. That's a done deal. But there's a tremendous amount of patience involved in a relationship. There's a tremendous amount of compassion, working through what my ego wants versus, you know, accepting who he is for exactly who he is from a much larger space that's, you know, doesn't get so, you know, doesn't get my panties in a crunch over some very basic attributes of who he is just being who he is. You know, and because my goal is, you know, ultimately, I'm constantly throwing myself in the fire, where almost everything that's happening in my relationship with Scott, and this is not since I've married him, this is since I've known him, is a soul-based experience. So it's always going to come back to ultimately forgiveness, acceptance, and compassion. In other words, there's nothing he has to change. I am in this relationship to do all the changing, because that's my choice to do all the changing. That's my intention to do all the changing, because in my experiences, that which can shred my ego to smithereens is what I want. That is, I've been a long time doing this in a non-committed form. I haven't been alone, you know, my awakened life. I've had men in my life, but this is another level that what I feel like I've done enough. I'm 51% of my either belief flipping or cleansings, or, you know, where the water got clean on certain subjects. And I reached a pinnacle where, in my heart, I really believed, in order to continue to grow, I need a partner now. That's what inside me tells me. My authentic I am says, okay, get the partner. Yes, create the partnership, because now you're ready to go into the triggers that partnerships include. Because in the past, if Scott triggered me, I'm out of here. I would, you know, grab my stuff and go home. And I'm still going to keep dual households. I've thought about that. I am not moving in full-time with Scott yet for several reasons. A major reason is he has two cats. I have a cat, and I love my cat dearly, and I want the reason to go home to spend time with her. You know, I mean, she's a part of my heart, and, you know, I just can't say, okay, well, you're dad's cat now. It's like that just doesn't work for me. She's a significant part of the time I was not committed to somebody. It was really her who kept me from being lonely, who physically, I believe, cleansed my energy when she would sit on my chest or sit on my belly. And, you know, I'm not... She can't be replaced so easy. I love Scott, but she can't be replaced. And so I was bringing this up, I believe it was Saturday, it might have been last Monday, where, you know, relationships are at this point, everything's taking on what works for you. You know, this is no longer, you know, the template of, you know, it's a, what do they call those, you know, a husband, a wife, and 2.5 children, and, you know, a unit. They used to call the family some kind of
a unit.
but it was a unit. But there was a name before the word unit. I can't think of it. But it was a template of like this is your family. You know yeah. Everybody's got to be the same color. Man is older, woman is younger. You know, we have a boy first, we have a girl second. You know, we have a dog, a two house garage, a mortgage.
Yeah.
I mean, we've invited our souls into this, so it really is going to be an incredibly unique experience for all of us to have this soul relationship. And so, you know, like I said, so, you know, I love Scott, but for the first time in my life, I am not in this relationship, and this is the first time in my life that I'm doing this. I'm not in a relationship just to please him. I'm in a relationship with him to help me find more out about me. What you know, can I raise my level of tolerance? Can I have more compassion? Can I one of the greatest gifts that Scott has the potential of teaching me is because of his Asperger's, which is a form of autism, for me to get to know Scott really well, I have to go into the world of empathy and telepathy, because he doesn't verbalize. He's not a master of words.
Right.
So and you know, I am like, I can't even tell you the addictions I have to words. It's very much verbal communication is very much what sets a bar for me, and so I have consciously chosen to get into a relationship where I'm challenged in that area with my partner. You know, and I only do that because I feel I'm ready to do that, because ultimately what's going to happen is I'm going to learn by choosing to be in this, and this is a word you've used before, the creative tension. The creative tension of my relationship with Scott, the creative tension between you and this woman in the parking lot, is to ultimately learn a language that goes beyond the duality. And if we can go beyond, if we can expand, we were talking about that earlier, Janine, if we can expand our fields beyond the duality, that's when you truly get the understanding and the neutrality that, you know, we're seeking in the intention, but until I'm feeling this in my cells, and well, then I'm not it. And if I'm not it, what I strongly recommend is, you know, three things. To be conscious of it, to allow it, you know, bring it closer, and then, you know, to trust that in the awareness of it, there's an alchemy that takes place because of that. In other words, you know, we don't have to go to a doctor and get these beliefs ripped out of our, you know, out of our tissue matter. What alchemizes everything is consciousness, awareness, and acceptance. So So what we're doing is essentially diving into the hot pot in the kitchen going, okay, everything that, you know, triggers me, pisses me off, frustrates me, makes me fearful, bring it. Because only way to alchemize it is to understand that. And the key about it is if you're going in with those three qualities to it, you know, the awareness and the consciousness and the acceptance, then I believe the things that you experience for a, there's a finality to that level of being triggered. Like, what inevitably is happening is we're building our field to being bigger and bigger and more tolerable, so that when, just like when Janine saw the gentleman coming at her with the scabs and, you know, clearly, you know, a homeless drug addict kind of guy, well, she had at that point already cleared the judgment around a homeless drug addict. So when that experience came at her, she was not triggered.
Yeah.
But the angry woman still has some clearing to be done, because the simple fact is it brought up an emotional charge. And exactly like you said, if we have an emotional charge, that means it's in us. And the part that the soul does is we're not here to judge ourselves for reacting to it. I mean, for me, it's just a matter, okay, so put it into, now it's in play. Like, because, like, today
just to add, it actually.
Please, go ahead. Yeah.
It's rich territory, you know. It's exactly what, you know, it's funny because, you know, I always say, what comes out of your mouth, you know, you realize it's got power because.
Exactly.
You know, because when I spoke about the unconscious coming up and becoming conscious, you know, so there it was, right there.
Yeah, so there it was, exactly.
Right there.
See, and now you're aware of it.
Yeah.
That's the power.
And I didn't want to cut you off, but I just felt that.
I appreciate that.
When we do realize that, when we're standing in those places and we're being challenged on any level of, you know, you could say, oh, I'm in rich territory right now, you know, consciously.
Yeah. Imagine flipping that. Yes.
Consciously, here's a really cool thing. The authentic self, the I am presence, the soul, has no need to win. So this isn't about winning. So this is just about learning and wisdom. And so basically in a power struggle, a very wise person said, you know, you just get bigger. You're neutral, but you just get bigger than the situation. There's no winning. There's no nothing.
Right.
So yesterday ends up being very rich territory for me, which, you know, what such a small thing in some ways, and yet such a rich experience, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's great.
Yeah.
Thanks for pointing that out, though. I love that you pointed out that the drug addict, you know, guy who was hurting, he didn't trigger me, she did.
Right.
And, you know, it was on some level she triggered me. I didn't go into rage. I didn't get out of the car. I didn't try to rescue her. I moved on. It caused some bewilderment, but it did trigger me enough to process it, to talk about it. And it was definitely a learning experience. Definitely.
Right.
Definitely.
And that's the point of the intention, because you're not getting triggered, you know, then I'm going to yourself, well, then what did you hold back in your intention? You know what I mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And that's what the beauty of doing this
like
on
that.
The air.
No,
because
no,
I want everybody to know
that
we should be falling off the cliffs just about today.
Right.
Yeah, everyone that made their intention, whether they did on the show or not, is irrelevant. Everyone who made their New Year's Eve intention or whatever to get to know more of themselves, or to get to know their higher self, or to get to know their subconscious self. Well, I would say it's Monday. You know, we're just about at the right time, because the soul does not wait. It will happen now. Because as soon as we set that intention, the universe was already providing the woman to be at that place at that time. And again, the key about it is, I didn't, you know, like, I, it's always easiest for me to speak of, you know, my own journey, because I know that the most intimately.
Mm-hmm.
Being with Scott is about a soul's journey. Mm-hmm. Being with Scott is not about being rescued, being saved, making my life, making my life better. You know, I do believe as my soul, as I am able to hold and handle the frequency of my soul more, my life absolutely hands down gets better in every level and in every dimension. But I really am clear and quite honest with myself that it's going to come through triggers. So when the triggers, mm-hmm. I mean, 'cause to be honest, I mean, I told Janine, me and Scott, I was triggered New Year's Eve, 40 minutes after the ceremony, I was triggered because that's the type of relationship we have. And mm-hmm. so one of the things, like for me, that I noticed is I got triggered. Oh, and it's all, I'm moving energy now because I'm belching, and I always belch when I'm moving energy. Anyways, I came upstairs and Scott had fallen asleep, and we had not consummated our relationship, and you know I was a little sad about that. And but it's so funny because both of us are sober. Scott doesn't mm-hmm. drink. I don't drink. And it's so interesting when you're sober going through these things, how you don't allow, at least for me, my emotions didn't get away from me like a runaway train, where when I'm drunk or, you know, holy shit, everything just becomes so dramatic and how can you do this? As well as I'm a sap. I mean, when I drink, I'm also like, I love you, man. I just love you. So it's, I hit both sides. And in my sobriety, I didn't have that. And I came up and I was reading my book, and intentionally I was, you know, going, okay, this is your wedding night. Okay, you're not going to have sex with the man you love. And now what are you going to do about that? And I went, well, let's see if I can find my presence in my body. And I went, you know, I just started focusing on this inner warmth that I know myself to be as the essence of me in the physical. And I mean, within seconds, my feet warmed up, my hands warmed up. I mean, it's happening right now just because I'm talking about it. And I'm like, and it's not just the warmth that I feel in my body. Oh, my knees are warm right now. It's the presence of the expanded field of energy. And when I'm there, I was actually reading my book, giggling at the, in the storyline. And it helps me, the whole process for me is, it also helps me, I don't hold on to the pain. When I go into my presence, that is the cauldron of alchemy. That the following morning, me and Scott had no problem consummating our relationship, and we had no problem specifically, in my opinion, because I didn't hold on to him falling asleep the night before and some other stuff that I'm just going to keep, you know, I'm all about the details. But yes, right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, so it's really about the process of understanding that, you know, because I said to Scott the next morning, I go, did you think I was going to leave? Because that is inherently and historically how I behave when things don't go my way. And he goes, no. And I went, really? He goes, no. He goes, I didn't think you were going to leave. And I went, well, you're right. I'm committed here. And so right on. I'm glad you know that.
That was good.
You know, it just turned into amazing. And it's something that, you know, like, when you're doing soul work, every single day something comes up. You know, I've heard people say, whether they, you know, type it on Facebook or they said it, you know, on the phone to me or whatever, and, you know, when is this clearing going to be done? And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I've never felt that I couldn't go another day and clear. Because if you're really doing the clearing work, the feeling you get when that point has been alchemized and you genuinely feel in your cells this like explosion of presence, or it's an implosion of presence, I'm telling you, it's better than any drug or alcohol or cigarette or sex. It is so validating to the work that needs to be done, if indeed the goal is to go, you know, the organic ascension path. It's so validating. I have never felt myself say, you know, God, when am I going to be done with this? I have felt that, you know, when I'm quitting addictions, oh my God, I hope this, I hope that the, what's it called, when you, the craving goes away. That yes, I've been like, God, and I wasn't even using really my presence when I used some drug to quit cigarettes, I don't remember, Chantix, which,
oh, yeah.
Holy shit, did that stuff just twist my brain into, I had massive headaches. I was supposed to be on it for like 6 to 8 weeks. I was on it 2.5 weeks and went, I promise I won't touch a cigarette again because this stuff is just whacked and I had to get the hell off it. And I didn't. I did quit. But the experience of doing genuine clearing, which is really, I'm starting to realize, there's no clearing here done. I mean, what it really is the integration and the allowing of these experiences, of these energetic pockets that are in our cells, they're in our tissues, they're in our blood. The triggers literally bring them up to come up, bring them out to come up. And then our goal, if the goal is to be soulful, is to literally sit there and go, you have the floor. Okay, I'm going to feel this, but I'm not going to react to this feeling. In other words, I'm going to get angry, but I'm not screaming at Scott. I'm not, you know, I mean, there was somebody that today on Facebook that, you know, really, you know, pushed a button or two of mine, and, you know, I'm not going to get reactive. If I am triggered, I'm going to feel it, you know,
mm-hmm.
allow the feeling. And as Janine says it, and I've been talking, Simon will vouch for this, you know, when we're feeling it, the words that now ring in my head as my belief system is, okay, now bring them closer. Bring the frustration closer. Bring the feeling of, you know, not feeling respected or not feeling validated or not feeling loved. Bring that closer so that you can really feel it, but there's a knowing behind it that it's a feeling that has been triggered from, you know, maybe our childhood,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe whenever. But who you are now is bigger than that feeling. So all you're really doing is just allowing it to express itself, unconditionally loving. So you become the witness of the experience instead of the experience itself. And when you just go that one step be out of it, which is part of the expansion, which is part of the soul, it takes on a whole new flavor. Because I'm not tired of doing this clearing and integration work, because I can literally tell you, I see my own growth, I see my own tolerance, I see where I'm capable of not responding to circumstances that would have just like taken me over the edge a few years ago. Totally.
Yeah.
You know, it is accumulative. It really, really is. If you're willing to do it, and I feel like the only way it's going to become accumulative, though, is it's got to be authentically allowed to be experienced. You know, you can't have the experience and then react.
That's a powerful thing in owning it, you know, because when it comes up and it's there and it's in front of you and it might be being demonstrated by another, and then you that's where the courage and the humility comes in, and you
exactly.
You have the ability to own that, which is really truly the unconscious being kind of brought up, and that's why you don't really want to go, no, go back.
Hello? Okay, Janine, we lost you, babe. Call back in, Janine. Just hang up and call right back in. Okay, she'll call back. But that's exactly right. What she's talking about, the owning it has so, and that's the part, when we intend for our souls to be part of our experience, the one that's owning the human emotion is the soul. You know, so the soul doesn't do it resistantly or reluctantly. The soul, oh, see, it's so funny because my hands are buzzing right now as well. The soul does it. Because it knows the process. You're on again, Janine. The soul does it because the process of simply doing that, the soul knows all the alchemy will take place. So our job is to simply get out of our own way and let the soul do the magic, which is simply allowing the feeling to be felt and not responding to it. Because I know the human part of us, when we feel hurt, the first thing we want to do is hurt something else. And that's really the truth. And Carolyn Mace talks about that, and I'm like, God, she's brilliant, because she said, you know, cancer isn't about how we've been hurt. Cancer is about not being able to hurt others the way we want to, or something like that. She said that in
She did say that.
Yeah, in that three-part series that we heard, and I was like, wow, like that's, because people don't want to address the truth of the human part of us absolutely wants revenge. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's okay to think it. It's not okay to act upon it, obviously, because the minute you act upon it, you've just created a karma. But see, that the mastery is to feel that and not do anything with it. You know, true power is not power exerted. True power is power that is held, even though you have the power to exert. That's true power. That's soul power.
Yeah, you know, I mean, one of the obvious but ironies is that wanting revenge on another is really basically wanting revenge on yourself. So
right.
It's really an act of self, you know, destruction or self harm. And so, you know, that's a really good way to maybe when you feel sort of those feelings coming up, go, basically, I'm just wanting to hurt myself by hurting another, that we're projecting it outward. So
right.
That's why, you know, if you can, you know, and then you realize, oh, this, so much of this is about, you know, lack of self-love, and, you know, you kind of want to move back into that space. And basically, probably, ultimately, that's what this is all about anyway. So
exactly.
You know, but,
great segue into that. Very good.
You know, and I will share something that happened, you know, and once again, the subtle. But
yeah,
I notice a lot of things. And so I went for a walk this morning in a park that, you know, that's really a nice park. And, and it's not too far from Whole Foods, actually. So anyway.
There's a vortex in that Whole Foods,
yeah.
I tell you. There's a vortex.
So I was walking along, and then I actually, and this would be fun to talk about moving the body, but I actually decided to pick up the pace and jog a little bit and then go back to walking. I just wanted to move the energy. And and so I found myself back in the main part of the park, and there's this enormous, incredible tree there. It's a big one. It's a giant. And that very tree I have a relationship with, because two summers ago and then the summer before that, I did a children's workshop for these children I volunteered for, and I did all about the imagination and writing your own short story through imagery and magic in front of that tree. And there was picnic tables all around that tree, because this park does a program for the children called the Pajama Program, and I love donating my time to that. So
right.
So there I was, and I decided to go over and visit the tree. And I, you know, and I thought of you, Goldie, because I remember someone said to you, go be with a tree. So
Anthony
I went over,
said that, yes.
Yeah,
it's the
yeah.
first thing I thought of, too. Right on.
Yeah. So I went over to this enormous tree, and, you know, I just walked around her or him or the presence of the tree, and I touched the tree bark. And I just looked, and I said, hey, how you doing? It's me. And I said, you know, thank you. Because that tree, I don't know, I felt really aligned with that tree, and I probably taught about 150 kids in front of that tree over a period of time. And so
wow.
It was very special. And and those workshops led to other events that I did. So it was really a wonderful thing for everybody, so including me. And so I'm walking around the tree, and I just take a few steps away, and I'm looking down at the grass, not for any particular reason. And in the grass, I see the tiniest white little star that obviously a child must have been playing there in the summer or something. And there was a little white star. And I picked it up, and I couldn't believe it, because I thought, oh, my God, here's my gift. You know, and it was... hold on.
No problem.
So I don't think I could talk right now, but.
Okay. All right. All right. I got you back. No problem. Do you want to keep going or?
But
okay.
Anyway,
do you have water?
Talk about my story.
Yeah, I'm telling you. See, now this is when whatever you're about to say, I really. Two things can either be. This happened to me when I had George on the show.
Yeah.
That something attacked my throat. I was like, are you kidding me? You know, I've got, and this was the first interview I did with George. And I mean, just so you know, I spoke to him later and he goes, oh, yeah. He's like, entities will come down literally and non-physical entities that don't want you to share.
Yeah.
And they'll shut your throat down. I mean, or at least create an energy that makes it difficult to talk. And so I've always said at that point, well, it must be something very important when people start getting all choked up. You know what I mean? Like, okay, now you're going to – I really want to hear what Jeff said.
No, so I'm back, everybody. Anyway, so,
right on.
I found this tiny little white star. I mean, it fit on the tip of my finger. And I thought, well, that's beautiful. And I am, you know, being an artist and making things out of things I find, I always look at them as sort of, you know, messages or archetypes or – and I thought, well, that's beautiful. And so I just put it in my pocket, and that was that. So then later in the day today, I was in my studio, then I was back in the house, and a friend pulled in who's editing my book that's coming out, and she's wonderful. Her name's Carell. And she surprised me by bringing me in an apple pie that she had made with raspberries on it, with whipped cream, and she said, this is your pre-birthday apple pie. And so tomorrow's my birthday. So I was like, wow, that's
happy
so
birthday!
I said, that's so sweet of you, because there's in my new story, there's a lot of talk about apple cake, and it's very funny. And,
Yeah. Oh, so she got that because she's editing. How did she know? But right, she's
so
the editor.
She's editing the story, and she knows the significance. And she said,
okay.
So we're sitting in the living room, and she also gave me a few other little gifts. And out of her mouth, she goes, you know, it's just a real star. And when she said the word, it dawned on me, and I put my hand in my pocket. And I said, oh, I forgot all about the fact that I found this little white star today. And I said, you know, I've been looking for the name of my polar bear because for my new story, the sequel to The Magic Gown. And in the original Magic Gown, there's a beautiful woman who's incredible. Her name is White Tears. And she turns into an eagle when she's not a woman. And in my next book that's coming out in May, there's this sweet little rabbit named White Rice. And I said, oh, I think the polar bear's name is White Star. And she goes, oh, that's perfect. She goes, yes, yes. And so then, and if anyone wants to see it on my website, you're not going to believe this. I have a painting of a beautiful polar bear looking up at a white star.
Oh, wow.
That I painted probably 5 years ago. And it's just, I was like, isn't that incredible? And so, you know, this is sort of the world of following things, you know, that's,
but I don't
take anything lightly. And I feel that even from the vow to the burning of the vow, to the synchronicity of both of us burning it, you know, connected, and then yesterday's experience, and then going to the woods and talking to the tree, and then looking down and finding the little white star, and then I have the name for the polar bear that I've been looking for about 4 years. And, so, you know, it's pretty amazing, really. And, you know, who knows? Maybe I wouldn't have gone to that park today if yesterday hadn't happened. I don't know. But it all fits together. And, you know, I guess just being a storyteller.
I love it.
That's what I'm doing. I'm telling a story. But anyway, it's a real – I love it. I love the fact that, you know, today I found the little white star.
Well, can I have to ask you something, because I don't know if I've expressed this to you or not, but did I tell you that I have I've been seeing stars lately? I don't mean like Tweety birds around my head. I realized as soon as I said that, it's like, okay, wait, we might want to rephrase that, Goldie. But literally, I've been seeing stars. Like, this is actually a good 7-9 months. Like, you know how people have these 5-pointed stars on their homes? They're mm-hmm. like outside decoration mm-hmm. things.
They're very folk.
Well, they are folk. But that's not how I agree. But that I kept going. Why do I keep seeing stars?
You mean they're there, but you're noticing them. They're showing up for you.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. I'm literally, I mean, it's like funny because my eyes are very much drawn. If there's a hawk within, you know, literally almost like a half a mile radius when I'm in the car, my eye will go to the most obscure space and see the hawk. It's mm-hmm. just, it's like, you know, between intentions and, of course, the name, you know, I'm very drawn to hawks. Well, I am also at this moment very drawn to stars. And I'm just finding it interesting because I was listening. So, like, okay, what, and, you know, and then, you know, polar bear. I mean, I have a dear friend of mine who's polar bear. I'm just like white stars because I actually had a friend of mine, Dennis, who was on the show the other night. I was telling him about it, and we looked up star because he's like, well, Google it. So now, I had put a 5-pointed star, which they consider a pentacle, but the interesting thing about the stars that I'm drawn to that are different than a pentacle shows the lines of how, you know, that crisscross each other to make. These stars are not lines. They're full stars. And there is different symbolism. Now, what's interesting is they immediately went to, in the full star, it's very much about fame and how we call, you know, like famous people, we call them stars.
Okay.
You know, and I was like, you know, and I was going, okay. You know, I mean, I'm open to that, but I was like, I still haven't gotten my total click, you know, like, okay, now I know exactly what I'm seeing these stars for. But I do believe what you're saying is a piece of it, definitely. I mean, the fact that you just named a character in your book this, I mean, come on, that's clearly a piece of it.
Do you remember, was it Carolyn Mace or who was it that they say that it's what you start noticing? I mean, somewhere I read this where, like, I know it's the Universal Symbols book that I have. When there's a shape that is prevalent for you in your process or your archetypal, what's going on for you or what's current or where your strengths are. That shape will notice that shape more than any other shape. Yeah, so that's interesting. And you know, I don't know the meaning of the star, you know, like I'm sure there's many myths and things, but I do know that.
I went to Wikipedia.
In the tarot.
Oh, go ahead.
In the tarot, the star is attributed to self-esteem, and so. It would be healthy self-esteem. You know.
Right on. Yeah. Wait a minute, because that's what I was starting to. Okay, so Dennis did a tarot card reading for me, and he drew. He didn't even draw them. He drew them. He was shuffling the cards, and he goes, "Okay, 3 cards just literally flew out." And I was like, "Well, okay, then obviously, because I was going to just do 1 card." He goes, "Well, listen, 3 of them flew out." I went, "Okay, what are they?" And here's was it was the Sun card.
Uh-huh.
It was. The Queen of Wands.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shucks. What was the 3rd card? They were like two major archetypes, and then the Queen of Wands was actually the 3rd card. I don't remember the 2nd card, but I remember the read was essentially like, you know, you're going to just explode with, you know, like all your dreams. That, you know, it was just a very... validating read. And I love that he didn't pull the cards, that they literally was like, we'll show you, these are the cards you're going to give her. You know, like, we're not even waiting for you to pull them. We're going to give you the cards. And, you know, I mean, and it's interesting. I do, you know, I play with it, you know, because this whole stardom thing and being a star, you know, it's, as long as it happens organically.
I just think it is truly about the healthy self-esteem. You know, you brought up doubt, self-doubt, and when you have a healthy self-esteem, you know, self-doubt really doesn't, you know, haunt you as much.
That's true. That is very true, actually.
Yeah.
It is. It really is. And I can, you know, honestly say that I am at a space, because, like, I wanted to share this with everybody that, like, I got a hit that I was sharing it with Janine earlier. You know, I know that I did my ceremony with Scott, and, you know, we did not invite, you know, the government into our ceremony. And, you know, I'm kind of getting a sense that there are people going, you know, not really understanding, you know, like, oh, well, why wouldn't she do that? And, you know, I contemplated it on my own because I wanted to discuss it in the sense of, you know, the name Golden Hawk is my legal name. I mean, I went to a probate judge and legally changed it because I'm the kind of person who, like, I'll involve the government when it's off the hook. You know, going to make my name Golden Hawk, okay, now I'm going to get the government involved. But something like going to the government to get married, well, now I'm not going to get the government involved. You know, it's like I pick and choose when I'm going to get the government involved. I don't get the government involved in my job because I don't want to give the government any part of the money I make from my living. I really am, because, this is what got me there. The Crimson Circle shout, the monthly shout for December, was called Life Designers. And as I was listening to it last night, which I had not heard it in December. I was actually looking for January shout, but that wasn't posted yet because they just did it yesterday. It takes a few days to get up. And I was like, oh, I didn't hear December's. Let me listen to December's. And he was talking about designing our lives. And I was like, you know, the truth is, as I look at my life at this very now moment, January 2nd, 2012, I am absolutely designing my life. I mean, I designed that. I was telling Janine this also earlier. I get married, and I'm not worried about the legalities. I'm also, I don't need the legalities to feel the commitment between me and Scott. In fact, I feel the commitment even stronger because nothing holds us here other than our choice to be here. And that's kind of that subtle world. You know, you can ball and chain somebody to keep them there, but I don't know if that's necessarily the space I want to create with a partner, because the kind of work I'm going to do, you better want to be here to do it with me, because I'm going to take us into the fire. And I am going to, because he cannot not be alchemized just in my presence, because I'm getting alchemized. So it's happening two ways here. And if you don't want to be here, I don't want to have to give a lawyer $1,500 to say I'm done. If you don't want to be here, okay, we can end it. But the truth is, we are right now, we are doing this without the ball and chain. Another thing that I realized is, you know, I've wanted children my whole awakened life. Since I'm 30, I've wanted children. And I was telling Janine, that's another way where I kind of designed my life where, okay, I have not, you know, physically given birth to children, but, you know, I pretend or I play a mother when I'm nannying. And, you know, I've done it with infants. I have my beautiful friend Alana, who, you know, she's now 19 or 20, and she helped me go through some processing that I believe parents go through with their kids when they're teenagers, and, you know, kind of letting go of the control of, you know, they don't need the guidance, you know, they're driving on their own, they're dating, you know, there's an independence that is created in them, and part of being a good parent is adjusting to that independence. And, it just doesn't happen, you know, naturally. It just doesn't happen. Like, I learned to let go of control through my relationship with Alana, you know, and, you know, I don't have a teenage daughter, but I'll be damned, Alana felt like my teenage daughter when I was going through that process. You know, it's like, so I'm starting to really learn that, and not learn, but learn to share with everybody. There's so much that we can experience without having to do it the way, you know, the world told us we had to do it. You know, because, you know, it seems so appropriate to tell us. The fight that me and Scott had on the night that we did our ceremony was, he initially didn't want to put it up on Facebook that we were married. Because he went, well, we're not legally married. And, you know, I was like, this is like 40 minutes after our ceremony. He said to me, you know, I don't want to change Facebook to being married to you. And I was like, you know, my jaw hit the ground and went, are you kidding me? I mean, and I was like, okay, listen, you need to choose. We're either going to go fully, you know, full head on into this creation that we're making. You know, because I had told him earlier, I said, listen, I know from changing my name, there are lots of things I can play with that will make me appear to be married to you without the legal system having anything to do with it. And I knew Facebook was one of it. I also know that I can sign up for things to get mailed to me, and I can be Mrs. Scott Wall. I know all of this from changing my name to Golden Hawk before I did that. That nobody cares. Truth be told, they just want their money. If you're, you know, so there's just ways to see the creation come into this experience without, quote unquote, the legality of it. And so when he had said, "We're not, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, no, I'm not gonna change it." I mean, I literally went, "Okay, either all hands on deck, or I'm off the ship." You know, because I was like, I'm not going to play this halfway, because I don't play anything halfway. Everything I do balls to the wall, because that's who I am. And the next morning when I got online, because I had sent him this thing from Facebook and it had to be approved by him. And when I got online, you know, the approval had been done. It showed up me and Scott being married. And, you know, I was very tickled that, you know, okay, he does want to play, because I realize what I'm doing right now, what I am living right now as one of my dreams, and this has been a dream since I'm a child, I'm playing house.
Yeah.
And I love it. We're taking care of, you know, we're cooking dinner two or three times a week for Scott's mom, because, you know, she's got Alzheimer's, and so she needs some help. And, you know, there's many ways to play this part and this experience, and you know, I think what I'm really trying to kind of bring home, that the flavor I'm trying to bring home, is that there's so many things we can have, even if one of the ways we have it, you know, seems to, you know, cut us off and say no. In other words, if you couldn't have children because something was going on biologically with a person, well, you could nanny, you know, to have the experiences of parenthood. That's, you know what I'm saying? You can foster a child. There's just, it's not just about one way. If you can't do it one way, it can't be done. It's like, you know, I have a feeling if I broached Scott from the legal point of view of, do you want to get married, he would have said, hell no. You know, and that's him. You know, because see, in my understanding, as long as he was in the ceremony, he was so deeply sincere, and he really did, he communicated with a song, he communicated with some vows that he didn't write them down, he just spoke his truth from his heart. Mm-hmm. I know that the universe immediately was converging to bringing us marital experiences. I know the government, I'm not worried about tax breaks. I don't pay taxes. What the hell do I give a shit about tax breaks? I don't give a shit about the things that the people that want to do it legally care about. I care about the soul's experience, my soul's experience, as being married in a committed relationship, so I can, I mean, truth be told, so I can be triggered in all those ways that will help me blossom into the peaceful being that I can be in a relationship, because I have yet to show up as my soul in a relationship until this weekend. And now that I'm here, you know, I'm like, all right, let, you know, game on, let's play. Don't be sorry. God, I've been rambling.
Because I was just thinking that, you know, I've heard many times that that relationship is the highest art form. But I wanted to read this to you. This is so perfect. I looked up the star Tarot and I found the meaning. And since you and I were connected by fire on Saturday night, and it seems as though we're connected by the star as well, I think it'd be great for me to read this to you.
That would be awesome. I love it.
It says, the star is numbered 17 and is probably the most optimistic and beautiful card in the deck. A beautiful young woman, often naked, is depicted pouring water from a jug into the ground or into a pool by her feet. There are stars in the sky above her. Stars have long been seen as symbols of hope, regeneration, vision, and new life. When this card appears, you know somehow that life is just about to become easier and brighter. Life forces combine to assist rather than hinder. Here is the truth about our power. We can join the solid earth of material existence with the flowing waters of spirit and create within ourselves a universe. We have removed self-criticism and concentrated instead on our skills and strengths. When we regard ourselves with love, humor, tenderness, and sympathy, we access the God and Goddess within, and we are transformed.
So what deck did you get this from, and how do I get my hands on it? Wow!
Well, it's any of the when you pull the star, it is a beautiful card. If you look at the
now, can you do this the way you did the sun card? Can you?
Yes.
Can you share the card and the?
I will do it for you. Yes.
I thank you so much, because I mean.
Yes,
I need to hear that when I'm not on the air. You know, I mean, because clearly that went deep.
it's no accident, because these are the archetypal symbols that are forces within us that are, you know, revealing themselves to us. And you know, it's funny that you and I worked with the fire spontaneously in burning our vows, because we knew they took shape already, and letting them go, and then. We both, you know, I didn't know you were attracted to stars, and I found one today, and now, you know, so there it is in material form.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so I'll definitely send you the image and this explanation.
Thank you. Yeah. Outstanding. I super appreciate
it. And
it
is a beautiful part.
Oh, I don't doubt that. I mean, the thing that I heard was, you know, the star is essentially saying life is getting easier, and it's like, you know,
it's becoming
easier some level,
and brighter.
Yeah, because it's like,
because this is what you said about designing your own. It said, here's the truth about our power. We can join the solid earth of material existence with the flowing waters of spirit and create within ourselves the universe. And that we have removed self-criticism and concentrated instead on our skills and strengths.
Yeah.
When we regard ourselves with love, humor, tenderness, and sympathy, we access the God and Goddess within, and we are transformed. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's actually the most significant. I mean, well, it's funny, because when Dennis read the three cards, that was significant that night. But,
yeah.
I mean, this is the star. And I'm telling you, I've been seeing the star for like 7 to 9 months. And, you know, just taking notice at first, going, and it's so funny because I'm basically driving in neighborhoods I've always driven in, except now all of a sudden I'm seeing stars everywhere. And, you know, I'm like,
yeah.
But I it's so funny because I kind of went in my own mind, which is why I'm really glad to have the card. You know, I went into the whole, Dallas Cowboys have a star in their hat.
Oh, okay.
And they're the Lone Star State, and I went into kind of like this whole Illuminati.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that doesn't exist, but I go there at first. I don't know why I'm drawn to the dark side at first. I just am.
Mm-hmm.
But I could sense, and if that was what I believed it was showing me, I would own it. I mean, because, you know, I'm just not afraid to own the dark part of me. I'm really not. Bring it on. If that's what it is, it's just got to. I know when things click. You know what I mean? You
yeah.
can feel
yeah.
it when, and the card you read clicked, because, you know, it's starting to hit me that for like the last 16 years, one of my main missions was to get married. I mean, that was get married and have children. I mean, that was like I left, you know, my relationship with Greg because I knew it was time to, I wanted to become sober. I didn't want to do the drugs. You know, that world just was, I was done with it. It wasn't done with me in the sense of, you know, I wasn't running from anything. I didn't go to jail. I was at the top of my game, so to speak, making a big money, and I just went, I'm done. I washed
yeah.
my hands of this. Okay, next, what are we going to do now? Oh, we're going to go to college. Oh, okay, let's go to college. And but the motivating energy in me for the longest time was find a relationship, get married, and have a kid. I mean, that was just... And what's so funny is, I mean, I think even me and you have talked about this a few times where I had to release that. I mean, it's like the first 5 years that I left Greg, I mean, I would go on dates after dates. I was on all the Match.coms and the Yahoos.coms and, you know, and in my first date, it's like, do you want kids? Do you want to get married? You know, and they look at you like, well, yeah, but not to you, or, you know, like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You're, like, why are you talking about this on day one? And it was interesting because when me and Scott, when I first brought the whole idea up to Scott, because it was my idea, we started, just in our talking about it, we started realizing how much we have been through together. Me and Scott have been through very, very dark times. And I still see nothing but beautiful in him. I mean,
mm-hmm.
That is just... It's not that I'm, and this is the part I truly don't understand, but it's why I know my soul is involved. I just cannot stay angry with him. I cannot see him as a dark being. I just see the fire that helps me continually become a more soulful being. That is, and then I see it as a blessing. You know, I mean. Because obviously, if I didn't see that, I wouldn't have married him, you know, to get this experience, you
yeah,
know, into
yeah.
into that committed little, you know, into that committed aspect. And but that's how I mean. We have gone through separations. I've known him about 4 years, three and a half, 4 years, and we've gone periods of separation. And you know, every time we would get back together, I was always just physically, like, electrically stimulated to be in his presence. Just stimulated, and not from a sexual point of view, but literally every cell in my body is excited when I'm in Scott's presence. Every cell, you know, and I can't make that up with other people. You know, I don't have that with anybody else. And that's when it was like, you know, I don't think this is supposed to be about me. In this lifetime, anyways, this is not the lifetime for me to find the prince that gives me everything. So nothing.
Yeah.
I don't have any friction. This is my prince shows up, you know, as a beautiful 38-year-old Asperger, brilliant drummer. You know, he's a musician and he's crazy and. You know, I mean, it's so funny just talking about, this is what I love about the show and why I recommend everybody calling in if they have stuff they want to process. Everybody who's listening right now is so contributing to my awareness of my soul journey that the things I'm talking about, I can tell you that when the show is over tonight, I'm completely cleansed of whatever it was that was getting me fired up prior to doing the show.
Yeah.
You know, how are you feeling? Because I
yeah,
mean, we
same,
were kind of...
Same. No, the processing and the looking at the woman and my experience with her and seeing myself in her and seeing the neutral expansion and, you know, just sort of a non-judgmental recognition of that, you know,
yeah.
where there's, no, and yeah, and then just following the process and talking about it, you know, on the radio, it definitely has, like, it unravels anything that might have been tangled.
Oh, right, and, that's a great description. Exactly.
Yeah, and the water, you know, the water in the process of washing the magic gown, the water definitely becomes clearer.
Yeah,
you know, I feel clear. I feel calm, and I really, you know, I mean, this process, I really enjoy the process, and I enjoy, you know, if you stay with it, you do end up by a tree finding a little white star, and then, you know, talking about it on the radio, and I get to read it to you, and there's so much wisdom in it, and there's, you know, you end up somewhere really, like, you know, with the treasure chest, you know, you do.
Yes,
but
you
but
do.
You have,
because
you have
I can't
to
believe
the
I
whole process.
I can't believe I never spoke to you about the star. I mean, I really can't believe I never. But part of it is because it's not a trigger and a negative. It was just one of those.
Yeah,
it was just a noticing. But I'm telling you, I'm like, wow, this is the first time Janine is hearing this, which immediately tells me that you told the story so I could hear about the star.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know, cause
and,
like
and,
that's kind of like when we're throwing our vows in the fire together. You know, it's like it's not even happening just to you. Oh, because one other thing I want everybody to know, to everybody who gets married, God bless our spouses. But boy, I could not do this. I could not do this wedding without my girlfriend Janine. I think, and we only have a few minutes in this show, and we're going to definitely talk about this in other shows. But it is so important to have, you know, the knowledge of, you know, who your friends play in your life and who your spouse plays in your life. It's very important. Janine has a clarity on almost the archetypes and the roles. And I am finding it personally just very helpful to know that I process with Janine. I don't process with Scott, even if it's about Scott. I process it with Janine. Now, that's not to say I have to show up and be authentic with Scott, but Scott doesn't speak this language that me and Janine speak, and Janine speaks it beautifully. And what I find is lots of times just running it by Janine to get the awareness, I don't really need to bring it up to Scott, but there are times, and remember that one time recently, I did bring it up, and, you know, because if it's something about, you know, something that has to do with me owning my authenticity in the relationship, then I have to bring that up to Scott. I don't know how I got here. I'm sorry, baby.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And, you know, not everybody, you know, the appreciation you have with me is that I process, this is a way, this is my language, and you and I
exactly.
You know, love that relationship, but it doesn't mean it's someone else's, and you can't make that person wrong. And I know that's obvious, but, you know, sometimes we need reminders that, you know.
Right.
You
don't
know,
assume anything's obvious. That's
yeah,
what I love
yeah.
about you. You do tell me things, and I would never say to you, oh, that's, well, how could you tell me that?
No,
tell
but
me,
also
because...
I love the fact that there are times when in a relationship, or, you know, with anybody, not just the partner, but that you have the courage and the self-respect to ask for what you need, you know, and you did, which I liked about, you know, I'd like to post this on Facebook. And, you know, that's important, to be able to ask for what you need. Because,
yes.
You know, it works both ways. I mean, you want to give to your partner, you want to be there for your partner, but you also have to, it has to be equal. And you know, the cups need to be full in equality, in that you also need to ask for what you need, so that this isn't just
right.
You know,
You're
right.
So, I mean, I swear it's like you're in my relationship, and yet, you know, meaning like you see things, and I'm going, that's exactly right. I mean, so is the wisdom, does that wisdom just simply come from because that's a healthy template? That so that's what you draw from? Because how do
probably,
you know this stuff?
Probably.
Right.
Although it's just, you know what, I mean, for me it's just it's sort of a natural understanding about, you know, being able to sort of see, like, relationships and my... Remember that anyone who wants to listen to the archives of I think the first show of the Mystical Mother Earth show, when I said that one of my favorite things is relating, and it's relating,
yeah.
It's relating to the world, it's relating to people, it's just relating, and so I guess there's a natural understanding of relating, and it's so funny that today. Just today, I don't know. Oh, I was reading this book by a sister, Karita, who has passed on. She was an artist, though, and she said that the definition for an artist or art is to relate. And so, there's I think that's funny because I just put that together. But that's what I think. That's just something that I can do or, you know, look for in relating. And
you do it extraordinarily well.
And thank you. And so...
You're welcome.
So, you know, and then, of course, the you know, applying that to my life as well in what my one of my favorite words in being sober, and I don't mean with, you know, I always say that I don't mean with substance.
Nope.
I just mean of a mind that is clear and focused and is able to see, you know, and
yeah.
So yeah, so that's my, I don't know where it comes from, but I'm happy for it. And it's just, I think it's a natural thing for me, you know. Just,
I think it's a natural gift. I agree. I think, I don't even think I know. I mean, simply because when I share things with you, it's, you help me understand how to take the charge out on many things that I never even have to, you know, literally, I don't even have to confront Scott on, because, see, and that's what I want people to realize. The trigger is ours.
Right.
The trigger does not need a response. Janine did not have to say something to this woman in order to be gifted by this woman with the trigger. Janine just has to understand the trigger.
Yeah.
You know, and but that's all of us. We're, you know, if the whole energy, if it doesn't get alchemized, that's when, if it gets stuffed, most of the time, you know, it's because, well, you know, I guess we're denying our feelings would be.
Also, if we stay in the projection, you're not giving clarity to that unconscious part of ourselves. So we're just keeping the projection out there in the world. And it's, you know.
Oh, right. Exactly.
Right. So,
that's
so,
blame.
So,
right.
So we'll have to run into a lot more angry people.
Well, exactly, and you know, we're trying to prevent that at the very least. You know, they say an ounce of prevention is worth, you know, a pound of medicine.
Perfect. But when you're like, hey, there's nobody angry anymore, that's pretty nice, huh?
Yeah, right on. Well, and I'm telling you too, the more you integrate, the larger your field that it, you know, you're going to trigger others, because it's not just about others triggering us. I believe it's always two ways, always.
Oh, yeah.
And that doesn't mean the clarity has to be both ways. One person can get triggered and stay in duality, and the other person can be triggered and be absolutely, you know, connecting with their soul due to that trigger. So, you know, one doesn't matter for the other, even though, of course, with that being said, there's also the paradox that I feel that those of us that are integrating, our fields of influence are more influential than those who are still in separation. The more we integrate back into a unified field, the more influence we have over our, not over, in our environment, in our relationships, you know, in our experiences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We just bring, the more soul we bring to the situation, the more influential we will become.
It's almost like that's presence, you know?
That's presence, right.
Right. And you're not inflated or deflated, and you're steady and you're focused, and, you know, it's just a presence. And I think that the more you integrate consciously, the less fragmented you are, which obviously means, you know, you're dealing now with someone who's kind of dropped into their soul and their whole. And,
yeah.
You know, we're moving it. I mean, you know, work to be done. So.
Work in progress. Definitely a work in progress. Absolutely.
But
yes.
But yeah, it was from the vows to today, you know, it's been pretty good, 48 hours.
Well, and it's so funny is from the vows, both my soul vows as well as my soulmate vows,
mm-hmm.
to today. I mean, to me right now, it's like, I mean, I am right back where I was in the space of, you know, everything sparkly and twinkly and,
mm-hmm.
I mean, because that was another thing, and me and Simon talk a lot about this as well, that, well, me and you talked about it too, that the laughter, I cannot stay down long at all anymore. My buoyancy, I've done enough integration that it, and it's not like I'm forcing it, because there was a time where, you know, if people, this is very interesting, if people were around me laughing too much when I was kind of like in the, the depth of the heat of my kitchen, you know, when I was really integrating some of the darkest parts of me consciously, you know, no longer running to drugs or to TV, but consciously, you know, feeling this stuff, I could not be around people that laugh too much. I mean, because it just pissed me off. It's like, listen, my life sucks right now, and I know I got to do this, but it sucks. So I do understand when, you know, if you're in that space, it that will pass. And when it does pass, now it's like integration commands for me to start cracking up, you know, in the middle of, you know, some dark experiences or a rejection or, you know, something where, you know, a spear has been sent and the trigger has been sent and, you know, my sensitive heart is going, ow, you know. And I'll work it, but at this point, you know, my 51% tipping point, I can't do it without giggling and laughing. And, you know, me and you have had, you know, some of our greatest crack-up moments, you know, in the depth of our, you know, confusion. You know, because, as well as I've done that with Simon as well. You know, it's like, and I love it because I love the idea that, again, it's not being forced. This whole integration and soul work, you don't force it. You cannot command this work to be done. That's why it's the soul. It's the ego commands. The soul accepts. And
yeah, and it's all authentic. You know, it's just authentic.
It's all authentic. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I could never have predicted the emotions. I'd never washed a dirty gown found in a riverbed in a ritual before, so I had no clue as to what emotions would be coming up for me. And, you know, by the time the water was clear, I was genuinely laughing, and that was organic. I mean, so that, you know,
go ahead.
No, I just witnessed a process within myself that now I share, and it really makes sense that you go through all that and you end up laughing, you know.
Exactly.
So it's a great example. What were you going to say?
The shirt that I got married in, I'm going to make it into initiation art. I got that hit today.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I might end up tearing it up. So.
Yeah, of course.
That's part of it. You know, I was like, should I be, you know, what if I do have a kid and it's a girl? You know, is this, don't you have to pass down what you got married in? And, you know, and then I got that knowing going, no, this is initiation art and you're going to live for right now. And, you know, if your daughter, if you have a girl and you have a daughter and she wants to get married, well, we'll get her what she wants. This is, you know, I was like, this definitely calls, you know, because as soon as our rings come in, you know, we can take off our little
wire,
you know,
free
siren
wire
rings. But I love it. I mean, I looked at Scott's hand today when we were at his mom's house, and it's like he wears his all the time, faithfully. It's, I mean, it's, I don't know. I'm touched by that. I understand. He's like, listen, I'll wear the ring when we get the rings to work. I'm not going to wear it to work. I mean, right. And he's a mechanical engineer, so I can kind of understand that. But yeah, it was touching, and making it into art, that it's like, it's my next part of the ceremony, mm-hmm. is creating this piece, and I don't know what I'm gonna. This piece could end up getting burned. You know what I mean? It could go up in a flame. I don't know. I just know I want to make it into art. Yeah, and I guess our show is just about to end those of you who are on the air. Yeah,
wow.
Or on the phone, I mean.
Well, thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, Janine. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you can really, you just, I don't know, or I should say it's the two of us, but when we fly together, magic, man. It's just magic, because I really do feel wonderful right now. I
That's great. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, God bless. We're just, and so everybody knows, did you check your schedule?
Oh, yes, I can do it.
Excellent. Okay, so Thursday night, outstanding. Thursday night, Janine will be on the show. So we'll continue more about this, because I especially... the whole time, I really want to share on the topic about accurate assessment of relationships, the value of our husbands and our wives and our friends, and because I think there's huge awareness in understanding that we don't have to find one person to be everything to us. We have to know people's, you know, who they are, and then, you know, and then apply each relationship that works best for each person that's in your, because I almost feel like we have a whole relationship in our lives. It's just not in one person. And and to be aware of that is immensely helpful in the health of all relationships.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Yeah,
so we can talk about that.
That would be, thank you, because I'm very excited to share in that, because I'm living it.
That's a good reason.
Exactly. All right.
Oh,
I mean, I can't think of a better reason than that, by golly. So share your contact information.
Okay. I have two websites. Well, actually, I have three, but JLKimmel.com. That's my art and about me and some of my work. And the other one is SpringTreePress.com. And that's books and kind of beautiful posters and more about my work and some other people that I work with's work. And also, I have initiationart.com, but it takes you directly to JLKimmel.com. So I'll be developing that website this year.
Right on.
Thanks, Golden
right
Hawk. Thank you
oh
so much.
Oh, my God. You're so welcome. And Thursday nights, 8 to 10, another reality show. The lovely Janine Kimmel will be my guest this week. And Monday nights here at the Mystical Mother Earth Show. So thank you so much for tuning in. We love you. We'll see you next week and share with you what expires over the next 3 days.
Okay.
All right. I love you guys. Right. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh. Love you all. Gotta go.
Oh, wow.
Bye.
I'm so glad I had
fun together.
Started, and before you know it.